It's time for the Cheap and Chad's Power Half Hour. All right, welcome back to another episode of Chief and Chaz Power Half Hour. Chief, how you doing tonight?
Chief is doing all right. Chief is getting ready for Mike's visit here to the Great North this weekend. He's going to be stopping through on Sunday, which means I have to try and clean my apartment and get it free of germs as much as possible. I went out and bought a 3-pack of Clorox wipes tonight. I think I am properly prepared now for Mike's visit here on Sunday.
Well, you know, if you use those Clorox wipes, you might be like going against his germ therapy that he has to do.
That's true. Well, he can make that decision when he gets here. But they are here should he choose to use them. That's all balls in his court there.
Yeah, he's got the option. Yes. That's what matters. Okay, cool. All right, so tonight we got a trio of topics to cover. Our first topic is involving QBs. So we both have a written question, and we have our very first voicemail.
Very
question
exciting moment from yes.
From none other than Beanpole himself, Mr. Joe Mancuso. So thank you,
one of the
Joe.
First signs that we've made it as a podcast. We have our first voicemail question.
Yeah, I'm excited. So, do you want to read the written question first, or do you want to do voice?
Let's go with the written question first, and then we'll jump into what Joe said.
The voice. Okay, great. So, the written question is number one: who is your QB of choice, and what top 10 QB are you avoiding at all costs? I think what I would say is let's talk about the QB of choice first, because I feel like Joe's question actually does kind of tie into the QBs that you're avoiding. There's some corollary.
Yes, there is.
All right. How about you start off this?
All right. Well, I'm not giving away the one QB I'm targeting because I'm not letting people know.
But they're gonna be able to figure it out by you know.
If you've read my piece in the Star Tribune, I basically made my quarterback strategy public this year. I would be very hard pressed to leave our draft with paying a lot for quarterback this year. I don't know that there's one guy in particular that I'm looking for, but I would say that the quarterback I will end up with is probably in around the number 10 to 15 range in most rankings. And it could be one of a few people that I'm looking at in that area. I just think that quarterback is very deep this year, and you know, and this kind of ties into the second part of the question. I don't think I'm going to be owning Tom Brady this year. If for my money, I think I got away with it last year, especially down the stretch when he faltered, and I think he was like the number 20 quarterback during the fantasy playoffs or something like that. He really struggled in the playoffs. Well, not struggled in an NFL sense, but in terms of fantasy production, it just wasn't there. It wasn't what I had paid for in the draft and what I thought I would be getting. And in fact, he's had, you know, weeks like that in the past around week 14, 15, 16, I guess in part because the Patriots that time of year in general are not playing for much. Usually they have the division wrapped up right around, you know, week 14. They don't have to, you know, they're only playing for the one or two seed at that point in time. And really, does it matter all that much when they've been in the playoffs as much as they have? So maybe Brady and the Pats, you know, take their foot off the gas a little bit in those games at that time of year. So I would say I would be very surprised if I left our draft with Tom Brady.
Oh, those are good points.
Do you want to talk about 41 years old? There's that too.
There is that. Did you want to? You said you didn't want to give away the person, but do you want to name some names of people that you would target if they came up to you at the right price?
I'm honestly looking at everybody in that range, and it could be a number of people. I haven't decided hard and fast who it's going to be. I'm looking at both veterans like Matt Ryan, Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Alex Smith, who I think could all be valuable, and I'm also looking at some of the younger upstarts like Garoppolo and Mahomes, and you know, maybe owning two of them, maybe owning a young guy and one of the veterans or something like that. I think that's a viable strategy if you want, you know, to go cheap at quarterback. I don't know. So I haven't decided who exactly it's going to be, and maybe some of that will be determined by the draft, but I would say I'd be very surprised if I spent more than, you know, $8 or $9 on a quarterback this year.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, I think what you said about, you know, having it be dictated by a draft is basically where I'm coming at it from. There's a couple guys, I've got a group of about six people that I like this year, and it's really just going to be based on what the price is. And I'm not going to follow what I normally do in most years, where I basically set a number on a guy, and if he goes over that, I move on. Because I've had some years where that's burned me, and I waited too late to get into the game because I wasn't willing to overpay for somebody that I liked. Two people that are in that category for me are Matt Ryan and Marcus Mariota. I've mentioned this on previous casts, but both of those guys were significantly below their usual touchdown conversion rate. Normally, most QBs are about 5% conversion touchdowns based on their overall attempts. Last year, both Matt Ryan and Marcus Mariota were under 3%. Which equates to usually, you know, between 4 and 8 more touchdowns, which doesn't sound like a lot.
It's
significant.
But if you think
about the article that you wrote today, it is significant because the gap for QBs is usually pretty tight. Like you said, from QB1 to QB10 can only be 80 points. That's the difference of 2 or 3 points a game. So when you all of a sudden add those touchdowns back in, which is the reason why I'd be targeting these guys, because I think they're due for positive regression to go back towards their mean. Right, because Matt Ryan was overdrafted last year because he was above where his normal, you know, he's usually about a 5.2 in that range conversion rate. Well, the previous year before Kyle Shanahan left, he was at 7%.
Right,
when he blew up. So, and that's typically what you end up seeing where you have and it happened to Matt Stafford a couple of years ago when he threw for you know, however many yards and how many different touchdowns, where you have a guy that just has a season where he's above his touchdown rate, he blows up in the rankings, but he's always going to bust then, because relative to his draft position, he's not going to be able to reproduce, because that was his ceiling. That was the highest he's ever done. So that's why I like Mariota and Ryan, because they are both under 3 conversion rate. And so I would expect that to go back towards the mean. And so they might be undervalued this year, sort of like a post-hype sleeper, where they're a little bit undervalued because they didn't actually perform last year. But that if they get back to their normal value, then it's going to be a better value. You know, if they get back to their normal production, then they become automatically a value at whatever price they're going at. But again, going to be completely dependent on that price.
I think it's a good point. And, you know, this is part of fantasy football is, you know, identifying those kind of post-hype players who might be due for a bounce back, or players that people have forgotten or have discarded because they didn't live up to the hype 1 year, and saying, well, maybe on, you know, the other hand, maybe there actually is something here. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, it's interesting. You bring up Matt Ryan, and I remembered something that he had said previously, and it makes me think about Garoppolo for this year. Ryan had said previously that his second year in the Kyle Shanahan offense, it was like everything finally came together for him. Like all the concepts that, you know, Shanahan was trying to instill. And that's why he had such a great 2016. So I wonder what that may mean for Jimmy Garoppolo this year. Now, it's been not quite 2 full seasons for Garoppolo, you know, looking at that playbook and learning it. But yeah, I wonder if there's going to be some sort of light bulb going on, even more so than there was at the end of last year with Garoppolo.
Yeah, very good point. Yeah, I mean, obviously, we know that his QBs can produce when they're given that time, and yeah, this would be about that time for him. So, you know, he's had the full off season. So, yeah, that very well be. Then it's just, you know, for me, he's just still such a huge question mark. And you know, for me personally, the guy that I'm most likely going to avoid is going to be Russell Wilson, which is kind of funny because Russell Wilson, every year of his career, not only is he incredibly durable in terms of his consistency in playing games, but he's also been a top, he's been a number one QB every year in terms of his consistency. The thing that really bothers me is, number one, that team is not the same team they were just a few years ago. They've lost pieces on the defense. I feel like they're getting slower. But more importantly, last year, Russell Wilson accounted for every single touchdown on his team except for one in terms of offense. So, I mean, he could potentially throw for more touchdowns. He could, he'll still run for touchdowns. But just let's face it, they're going to have a running back there now that they have Rashad Penny. Chris Carson's been doing well. Obviously, CJ Prosise is still in the mix there. I don't believe that it's going to be a case where he's going to get all those rushing touchdowns. I think he'll be about where he is QB-wise, passing-wise. So just to me, his touchdowns are going to regress. And so for that reason, I can't picture the value, because I believe that Russell Wilson is going to go for top five, if not top three overall in terms of QB cost. So I just can't justify that value, knowing that it's likely going to be a regression, because he can't possibly account for every touchdown, which is the only way he could go up at this
point. I'll say this also, having owned Wilson in 2016, there were some games where he was just absolutely lights out, and you know, it's why you have Russell Wilson, but there were some games that were pretty brutal. Some games where their offense was just stuck in the mud, it seemed. Now, part of that was he was hurt early in that season and he was playing through an injury and he really didn't get healed till the second half. But even then, he had some really rough games against teams like the Rams and Arizona. And I remember there was one game against Tampa Bay that he inexplicably shit the bed. I didn't understand that game at all, and that was late in the year when he was healthy too. So if their offense isn't really functioning, or if his offensive line especially can't pass block, it could be a long year if you have Russell Wilson. Take it from somebody that owned him in an up and down year. So I think your point is well taken there.
Yeah, that was good insight. So since we're on the topic of QBs that we want to avoid, this ties directly into the voicemail question that Mancuso left us. So let's take just 30 seconds here to play his message.
Hello, Chaz. Hello, Chief. So much and more has been made about the benefits of spending relatively big on a quarterback. Did you know that teams who left the draft having spent the most total dollars on a QB have made the playoffs exactly one time in our 8 years of auction league fantasy football? That one time, 2011, when Kaz drafted Rivers and Brady, immediately flipping one for Lloyd. Discuss. Is Aaron Rodgers secretly the worst fantasy football player?
Okay, so number one, Joe, thank you. That was a fantastic question. You're first person to put that in, so thank you. I hope others that follow in your footsteps. I think it's a good question, right? I mean, Aaron Rodgers is usually considered one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback in the NFL. But, yeah, it's a question of, is he the best quarterback for fantasy? And for me, it's basically there's two concepts that play here. Is he the best quarterback in fantasy in terms of production? But is he the best fantasy in terms of how he ends up affecting your overall strategy for your team? And this also ties back into your article you had today, Chief, about how, if you take Aaron Rodgers in the third round, that's a running back or a wide receiver that's basically a back of, that's basically somebody who's like in the range of like running back or running back 10 or wide receiver 10 through, let's say, running back wide receiver 18.
Right.
And that gap is much bigger for those guys than it is for QB. And so, whether it's snake or whether you're talking about auction where he might go, he's probably going to go for $20, so you're talking, $20 of your $200 budget, that's 10% of your overall budget, then that means that's just money you can't spend elsewhere. And to your point, to Mancuso's point where he said that the only year it happened was when Kaz, myself and Kat, got into the playoffs when we got Brady and Phil Rivers. Well, number one, we didn't actually intend to get both those players. We were just trying to bid up price and force, and we got stuck with
them.
But number two, the only reason why that worked out for us is because, and I'm pretty sure this is the year, but it's the same year that we got Reggie Bush for $1 and we got Darren Sproles for $1, and they produced way beyond that value. They were both, I think, top 18 running backs. Mm-hmm. One of them, I think, was even top 12. And also, I believe that was also the exact same year that we got Jordan Nelson, Wes Welker, and Victor Cruz for like $110 or something like that. Like, we're very low value, like in the low 30s, high 20s. So we had a confluence of events where we just happened to get extreme value for all of our other positions. And so therefore that didn't hurt us with the money we spent on the QB. But yeah, that's just not a sustainable model unless you just have a lights out team and everything produces for, you know, every player you target hits.
I guess you look at it this way. If you're assembling a roster, especially in our league where you have three wide receivers and a flex and you have 12 teams, so your roster has to be fairly deep in our league. You need to hit on players that are going to be cheap, whether you're spending one, two, three, four, five, whatever dollars. I think spending your money on, in general, spending your money on a decent QB who's only going to cost you a couple bucks and finish in the number 8, 9, 10, 11 range in terms of quarterbacks, and, you know, maybe punch up a little higher than that. That is almost a more solid, safe pick at, you know, $2, $3, $4 than whatever fly-by-night running back happens to be trendy, you know, among fantasy analysts, you know, and then who inevitably pans out or gets hurt or doesn't pan out or gets hurt or something like that. So getting at least starter's value for a couple dollars out of a quarterback seems to be a smart way to build your team in our league. Now, I went the opposite direction last year and it paid off because I just thought that, you know, the top end starting quarterbacks, they were finally down to a range in the high teens, low 20s, where it was acceptable to take them. I looked, you know, and kind of did the math in my head. I think Brady, the $21 I spent for him last year, he was, if we ordered all of the auction picks in terms of how expensive they were and did a snake draft just based on how expensive they were, Brady would have ended up being like a late fourth round pick or something like that. Right. You know, it's a round and a half later than Aaron Rodgers is going this year, where he's going like late second, early third round in most snake drafts. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a balance of value, but I think in general, if you're only going to spend a few bucks at a quarterback, and I think your odds of getting a starter's value for that is much better than spending a couple bucks and trying to get a flex worthy or number two wide receiver or running back.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, one other thing I'll add is that I feel like with those top-end guys, specifically Rodgers and Brady, I feel like that yeah, you can spend that money and they're going to produce, but I feel like there's always that one or two games where they're so deadly efficient that, and I think it was like Rodgers where, and I want to say maybe it was last year or the year before where Weinkoop owned him, and he had Rodgers, if that's correct. Mm-hmm. And it was something like where Rodgers basically threw for like two or three touchdowns and like 200 yards, and they were just so far ahead of the other team that he basically stopped playing. And that really sucks because he's so efficient, and yet or he's so good, and because he was so efficient, it actually ended up, I believe it cost Weinkoop the victory. Someone please fact check me on that, because I'm remembering incorrectly, but there's also that thing to consider as well, that those top end guys can also cost you in that.
Yeah, and I worry about that with Brady this year too. You know, if the Patriots get up big on people at 41 years old, how much throwing are they really going to be doing? You know, late in the second half of games.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to our second question, and our second question is revolving around running back. So the question that was submitted was, which running back is most likely to bust and which will go down with injury. Now, I don't know about you, Chief, but I'm not going to answer the second part of that question. I don't want to speculate on who can go down injury. I don't like the idea of thinking about it. I don't want to put any sort of ill will out there into the world. It's just such a hard thing to guess on. I mean, look, we know traditionally that, you know, the first number one, we know traditionally someone's always going to go down with injury.
Right.
We've already had it happen with Geis. So I'm just not going to put that out there, but I will answer the first part, which is who I think is going to bust. And I'm going to answer this from the concept of For me, a bust is all about relative draft position, meaning, you know, what was the capital that was used to acquire that player, and then what did they produce? Because in that sense, you could look at a guy like Le'Veon Bell last year, who is, I believe, the consensus number one across most ADPs for first running back. Mm-hmm. He ended up being the second running back behind Todd Gurley. So in a certain sense, he busted because he did not return the value you drafted. So really the question is...
I wouldn't say Le'Veon Bell busted, especially when compared to most of the other running backs out there. I think a bust is 2016 Todd Gurley. That's a bust.
Right. Well, I'm saying it's relative to the draft position, right? So yeah, I do agree that there are guys that are drafted and the value they return is much less. But through the lens that I'm looking at it, a bust can be anybody who does not return their drafted value. So that being said, the guy that I'm going to pick is Kareem Hunt. Number one, I think, you know, he's consensus top 8, top 12 running back this year, which seems about right given what he did last year. But there's a lot of things going against him. Number one, you lost Matt Nagy, so you're back to the Andy Reid. Whatever the new offense is going to be, it's going to be a new offense because, oh, by the way, not only did you lose your offensive coordinator, but you have a new quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, right? Oh, don't forget, Spencer Ware's returned from injury. Oh, and by the way, they added Sammy Watkins. Oh, and don't forget, you have Hercules himself, Travis Kelce. So I just feel like all of those things together, it's going to be very difficult for Kareem Hunt to return the value that he's being drafted at unless he's given like a workhorse role, which I'm not entirely sure he's going to get. So that's the player that I would pick to bust relative to his draft position. I'm not sure there's anybody else that I would pick to like really blow out and not produce at all, but I'm picking him as for that.
Yeah, you stole my answer there because I was going to say him for all of the reasons that you just stated.
We should have talked about that first.
Especially Spencer Ware potentially sneaking back into the picture here. I wonder what the goal line situation is going to be like. I'm not sure that Ware was especially loved around the goal line when he was, you know, more of the feature back in 2016. I think they started bringing in Sharkhandrick West in some situations. I could be wrong on that, but I wonder what the goal line distribution of carries ends up being there. I hope he's not a bust because I kept him in my PPR league and threw away Devonta Freeman because I liked him better. I don't trust Steve Sarkisian either. And I also don't trust the usage of Tevin Coleman last year. So I figured Hunt was worth it more than Freeman was. I guess if I look around the rest of the top 10 running backs, I guess I'm a little worried about Melvin Gordon. You get to the back half of this top 10 of running backs and everybody's got some question marks about them. You know, Fournette has injury history and, you know, is he going to catch, you know, a decent number of passes? With Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler is there. And I wonder just how much of the Danny Woodhead role that used to be in this San Diego offense goes to Austin Eckler now that he's got another year of experience. I'm not sure. I'm a little worried about his usage in terms of, you know, 2-minute drills, end of half situations. Do they go to Eckler in these spots? I'm not sure. You know, you hear rumblings that Eckler might be the new Danny Woodhead in this offense. And so I think that dings Melvin Gordon if Austin Eckler turns out to eat a little bit into Gordon's touches.
Yeah, that's a good answer. I'm sorry for stealing yours and making you scramble there, but I thought it was a good point with Gordon. I had considered Gordon. I didn't have enough stats on him to really support it. But
I don't have any stats. I'm just making assumptions.
Your point about Eckler, I didn't consider. Yeah. So yeah. I forgot Eckler's there. Yes. Honestly. So. Yes. That's good. And I assume you also don't want to answer the part about who you think will go down with injury.
Yeah, let's not put any bad voodoo out there in the world. I agree.
Fair enough. All right. You mean don't put any bad Juju?
Yeah, Juju, Voodoo. I'm sorry, I have New Orleans on the mind because I'm going there in a couple weeks here.
Yeah, I gotcha.
All right, so what do we got last year? All right,
so last question is submitted by Gates. I think actually they were all submitted by Gates, but for Gates, this question is, I'd be curious to hear which league member you dread playing and which you are typically happy to see on the schedule. For example, if you had to play one owner every week, who would it be? I honestly don't have an answer for this yet, so I'm still kind of formulating my opinion here, so why don't you go ahead and answer first?
I don't know that there's anybody I especially like. It's so dependent year by year. I will say that, you know, once the season starts and after, you know, the first 2-3 weeks, when you kind of see how good or not good everybody's teams are, then you start to look at the schedule and you circle like, all right, well, week 8, I've got, you know, so-and-so, and, you know, I might have a good shot of winning that one. It's just too hard, you know, to really say. You know, I think in terms of people I fear, you know, I don't know. Jake always seems to make – even if Jake has players on buys, he always seems to make savvy moves that keeps his team competitive on a week-by-week basis. Rarely is the week when he doesn't – I don't have any stats here. I just feel like he's always got a competitive team. He finds ways to plug holes or get by for a week, you know, even if he's got a lot of people on buys or injuries or things like that.
Okay. Yeah. And is there somebody that you definitely would want to face?
No, I'm not. I don't think there's anybody I would definitely want to face. It's so dependent year by year.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, the dreaded thing, there's nobody that I dread playing. I generally enjoy
surprise there.
In the league. I like, right. I mean, yeah, I like parity. I like being able to play everybody in the league. You know, if there's a dread aspect, the closest I would get to would be, you know, playing the best team. If it's not me playing the best team in my division a second time, mm-hmm. just because of the unfavorability of it happens the way the schedule turned out, which is why I like the new draft, the new format we're going with the divisional rumbles first week and then playing everybody at least once. To me, that's completely evening the board out. And yeah, you still have that variability week to week, but it's much less than there. In terms of somebody I would play every week, that's going to be Gelch for me. you know, I know he's my rival. I would be more than happy to play him every week and completely beat him every week if I can. I think I now hold the edge in our overall matchups. So Mancuso, feel free to do the numbers there on what it is. Maybe I'm wrong, but you know, I feel like I can go toe to toe with Gelch, who's generally considered one of the better players in the league. And obviously, I have personal satisfaction every time he loses, whether it's at my hand or somebody else's. So why wouldn't I play him every week if I had the chance?
You know, Joe and I, we've had an interesting back and forth with our rivalry. For a long time, I had his number, and then it switched, I think, around 2013 or 14, and he started beating me pretty regularly. And then and he beat me twice in the regular season last year, and it wasn't until the finals that I got him. But the only times we've played in the playoffs, I've beaten them. If you go back to 2009 and include that, so I do have his number in the playoffs. So I like seeing him in the playoffs if I get the chance.
Well, that's a good streak to have. Okay. Definitely,
it is. So we hit our limit here. Do we get to 30 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, we're basically at 30 minutes. So I mean, I think that's a great episode. I think, you know, in coming weeks. I think we have 2 weeks left until our actual draft happens, I believe.
Less than 2 weeks.
So maybe we'll do. So we're only gonna have one more episode then.
Well, it depends on how much we want to hit the pavement here in the next 12 days. If we want to do two or one or you know, we'll see. We'll see what time permits.
Okay. I mean, obviously, after the draft, that's gonna be a bigger episode, probably doing a draft recap
for sure.
Show some of their. So I don't know if, do you want to do like a pre-draft? I feel like it's hard to do a pre-draft, an episode specifically on pre-draft because until it happens, it's not as much to talk about. So we'll find some new topics to talk about next week. Please, if you are listening and you like us, please obviously subscribe, rate us on iTunes. I'd love to see some 5-star reviews and
get creative with those reviews.
Yeah, definitely. And then, download Anchor, right? It's a simple download. It's free. You create a username, submit a question, right? How hard is that? And if you do it well, maybe we'll give you some sort of special prize at the end of the, at some point, maybe we'll give out prizes for the best overall question, or we'll bring people on. If your question is good enough, we're going to bring you on the show with us and you can have a conversation with Chief and Chaz. How about that?
I mean, what could be better than that, honestly?
Exactly. I mean, right? That makes that. That's what everybody wishes for Christmas.
Absolutely. Well, let's call it an end. Right, I got to get my laundry out of the wash here. Let's wrap it up.
All right. So, everyone, thanks again, and we'll see you next time on Chief and Chaz Power Half Hour.